Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate that. And thanks, Declan and Tony, for your service as well. My name's Jack. I'm a compulsive gambler. Date of my last bet was the 20, sorry, the 9th of November, 2022. So 2 months, sorry, 2 years and about 10 months now. Going really well. Today, I just thought I'd talk about my story, really. I know a lot, it's experience, strength, and hope that we're sharing, and there's hopefully enough of that for everybody to get. So yeah, I just thought I'd talk about sort of the early stages of me gambling, sort of when I look through my life, and sort of where it started, where it went to, and where it ended up, and how I found GA. And how GA has transformed my life in the last, nearly 3 years now, one day at a time, and the importance of these meetings. So, thank you to everybody for making this a meeting as well. To have 39 on a meeting is fantastic. So, yeah, thanks for all being here. So yeah, I'll start off with my early stages of gambling and a little bit about myself. So I'm Jack. I'm from the South Coast in England. So I am basically going to say about when I was a child. So I was brought up with my mum and dad, four brothers. So there was, a normal upbringing, if you like. I've got two half brothers and a half sister as well. So, there was a lot of us. So in terms of a normal upbringing, I think it was absolutely normal, that I didn't have any sort of financial worries or anything like that from a child. We always got fed and all of that sort of stuff. We were quite poor, I would say, in comparison to a lot of families in our area. So we never had sort of holidays abroad or anything like that. It was very much, a caravan holiday, just to sort of Weymouth, which is in Dorset, sort of like about an hour and a half away from where I am. So it was almost like a Centre Parks type thing every single year. On these holidays, me and my brothers would save up our pocket money through the year and stuff to have some spending money. And what was our sort of, things that we'd get excited about was the swimming on site and the arcades. The arcades for me and my brothers was a huge thing. It was very competitive from such a young age. I'm talking sort of, probably 3, 4, 5 years old, where we'd use the 2p slots, putting money in there to try and win prizes. It was always competitive. Who's got the most tickets? Who's got the most this? With five brothers, it was always like that. It was a very competitive family. Same as with my dad as well. So my dad was really big into, the fruit machines and all of that sort of stuff. Although, he wasn't a compulsive gambler, was very aware that, on holiday he'd go on the fruit machines, he'd go on the prize winning machines, etc. So yeah, sort of from a very young age, on this holiday every year that we'd go on, it was always on those machines. And as I said, it was very, very competitive. And we'd get given £2, and then we'd go back to the caravan and we'd say, "Can I have another £2? Can I have another £2?" And that sort of, for me, nobody picked up on it because nobody's sort of got a compulsive gambler in my family other than myself. And for me, that was a very addictive trait, to be doing that. When we wasn't in the arcades, I was always asking my brothers, the arcade pots that you get to put your 2p's in. So I was always, trying to play a game to win money out of them as well. So we'd flip the 2p's from one side of the caravan to the other to try and get it into the pot, and whoever lands it in the pot took all of the money. So I'd do that. So even if I'd left the arcade and I had some money left, it was used for that, and I'd keep playing till as late as possible until I was allowed to play, unless I had no money or I'd won everybody else's money, which didn't happen very often, to be fair. So that was sort of, up until, I would say, early teens. When I got to sort of mid-teens, I had a paper round. So I was getting a weekly income. It wasn't a lot. It was something like 12 or £13 a week. That obviously increased once I took a second and a third paper round because it wasn't enough for me. Again, showing the type of character that I am. You know, it's never enough, never enough, always wanting more. And I think the reason for that was pride. You know, I loved boasting to my brothers, to my mum, to my dad, I've got this, I've got that, I've done this and I've done that. And there was always a lot of praise for it as well. So I think that probably, you know, encouraged that. So, you know, from sort of 13 to 16, 17, I was always, you know, quite well off for a teenager. You know, I had more money than a lot of my friends at that them sort of points, but then, you know, I spent it as quickly as I got it. So, you know, things that the reason that I'd done so much is because I wanted more things. You know, my brother, because as I say, we were quite tight on money. My brothers were getting, you know, trainers that weren't very nice in comparison to what I wanted and what my friends had. So, you know, I used to say to my mum, if I put this towards it, can you pay a little bit? And then I'll buy the nicer trainers, you know. And then that was the same with t-shirts. I wanted designer t-shirts. I wanted designer trainers, you know. And what I was earning wasn't covering that as well as going out with my mates and doing the things that I wanted to. Now I'm a massive, massive football fan, or soccer fan, you guys would say. Yeah, I used to finish my paper round on a Saturday, get paid, and from the age of about 14, we used to live over the road from a bookies. And quite often on a Saturday, I would come back and I'd sneak into the bookies. They wouldn't serve me, but I'd sneak in to get the football accumulator slips. And I'd probably grab 10 of them, you know, just in case I made a mistake on one or two. But if I didn't make a mistake, I was putting 10 bets on from the age of 13, 14. I was giving the money to my mum. She was going over to the bookies. Again, thought nothing of it, thought no problems. You know, I had some wins, I had some losses. I was happy to lose the money. But, you know, again, it was something that I shouldn't have been doing till I was 18. But from the age of, as I say, 13, 14, mum was putting the bets on for me. I had some wins, so she was happy to continue sort of doing that. From the age of sort of when I got to 18, you know, I'd go and put my own football bets on. You know, 17, 18, I was putting my own football bets on. And one day I was in there and there was a lady who was on the machines. So the just the playing machines. And she was playing a game called Rainbow Riches. And she was paying, she basically won the jackpot. And I was like, oh, like I heard the noises, I saw the lights, I saw the instant win. I thought, why the flipping hell am I doing football bets? You know, what, I've got to wait all weekend for these to come in and it's not coming in half the time. So I stuck a tenner in and I stuck another tenner in and I put more and more and more and more and more. And I lost all my wages. Didn't tell anybody. I had, you know, some more money, some savings at home by that point. And I went home, got the savings, put some more in and some more in and some more in. And that was sort of the start of it, really. It went from perhaps in my eyes at the time, not a lot of gambling and, you know, a lot lower numbers to very, very hard and very fast. And it happened that quickly for me, you know. So from the age of, you know, 18, I'd had a part-time job. 16 to 18, yeah, I was at a part-time job. I was at college as well, and I was making good money in comparison to my friends, although my friends had started to disappear because I was either at college, I was working to earn money, or I was losing it at the bookies. So, you know, at that time, I'd say there were more associates. I began to lose my friends at 17, 18 years old. Work took over, gambling took over. By the time I got to 19, I got into a really serious relationship. 18, serious relationship with my now wife as well. And we had a child by the time I was 22. And we had another one 4 years ago. So I've got two children. Really blessed to have them. And she's been my rock throughout, really. So from the age of sort of 18 to 20, as I say, it spiraled rapidly. She wasn't aware it was happening. Nobody was aware it was happening. I thought nobody was aware it was happening. My mum and dad knew it was happening. You know, they'd quite often, I'd not be home for dinner, and they'd see my car outside Ladbrokes over the road. You know, they'd come in, and you know, they'd be like, "Come on, Jack, dinner's in. Get out the bloody bookies." You know, that happened on numerous occasions, which was embarrassing. But it happened. You know, even when they'd come and got me, sometimes it wasn't enough. Wasn't enough for me to come in. It was, but by 18, 20, I was spending a lot of money, trying to impress my girlfriend, trying to impress friends, blowing a lot of money gambling, and I just couldn't stop. Really, just couldn't stop. You know, it started with the games. It went on to roulette. It went into casinos. Anything I could bet on online. You know, I was 24/7, just constantly in my head from probably 18 to 21, 22. Many, many times I'd nearly got caught, thought I'd got caught. The amount of times that I lied to my parents, you know, like all compulsive gamblers, in my opinion, you become a compulsive liar. You know, the lies that I told, the amount of times that my rent didn't get paid because my car broke down, I had a puncture, I had to lend a friend some money, so could I borrow it off you, mum? You know, that sort of thing, the amount of times that happened was beyond a joke, and there was no way that people didn't know. My missus become to know as well, so she found out the situations. She knew I didn't tell her. She knew that I knew. We both knew that she knew, but the conversation wasn't had because I wouldn't let that conversation happen. You know, I'd walk out, I'd strop off, I'd argue till the cows come home. About all of it. With regards to our relationship, it become quite frail, and I think I was lucky we had a child, and that I think that kept us together at that point. And you know, I don't know, I still to this day don't know how she put up with it, because I certainly wouldn't have had the patience to have put up what I put her through. Especially how bad the habits got. You know, it was day in, day out. Every day, you know, never had any money for anything, never went on holidays, never done anything nice for her. Nothing's, you know, we'd done the odd spontaneous thing to try and save the relationship at the time, I think. But the spending habits were crazy. When I was so from sort of 20 to 25, although I was really bad with handling money, I'd like to think I'm quite clever when I've got money. As strange as that sounds, you know, somehow the bank over here gave me a mortgage for a property. You know, I was really, really lucky. I was a compulsive gambler. I think to get the mortgage, I was because I'm an estate agent, so I'm in that sort of line of industry. So for me, I really wanted to buy a property. I actually managed to stop for 6 months. Because I wanted to buy so badly. That was the only thing that ever stopped me gambling. You know, the wanting to buy so badly. You know, I would draw out cash slowly. So I'd go to the cash point and I'd take the odd £20 out here and there. And then at the end of the week, I'd have a pile of cash. I had a cash in hand job as well at the time, and I'd go and blow that. So none of it went through my account, so the mortgage company couldn't see anything. And somehow I got a mortgage. So I've got this mortgage. Couldn't afford to pay it most months because, you know, I got paid on the Friday. By the Saturday afternoon, half of it was gone. By the Sunday, it was all gone. That happened numerous times in the, you know, bailed out by my parents numerous times as well, you know, for the mortgage, as I said before. So, you know, really lucky that I had a massive support with me. Otherwise, you know, the answer to question 20, well, I wouldn't have been able to answer the questions because, you know, I had them thoughts at them times, but I got bailed out. But I think it only made the problem worse, because ultimately it all came to a head after we had our second child, in addiction, just pure addiction. You know, I've written down a few notes here. My times of when I would gamble. So I worked split shift for a period of time. I owned a chip shop, and between 9 and 10:45 was my gambling time, you know, before I went and done the preparation at work. Then in my lunch break, all my customers would see me going over to the bookies. So between sort of 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, I would be there. And the only reason I wouldn't be there after work is because it was shut. So I was online. When I was at work, if it was quiet, I used to leave my colleagues. Right, I'm going for a walk. Straight over to the bookies, spend an hour there. You know, I'd be getting phone calls. Where are you? We're busy. We need you. You know, very, very selfish, but just in pure addiction, for a good 5 or 6 years. You know, yeah, really, it got really bad. I got bailed out from my bank, from my mum once as well. So I was overdrawn by a huge amount. And then when I got to, say, just before I stopped, so you know, on the, I think it might have been the sixth, the 5th of November, I think it was about 4 days before I attended my first GA meeting. I got to the 5th of November, which was coincidentally a day before my wife's birthday, and she confronted me because she'd seen a text on my phone, from my bank, to say I was overdrawn by a huge sum. She knew what it was. The secret was out, and it was a straight choice. You know, you go to GA now or it's over. You know, she took the ring off anyway, her engagement ring. She took that off, and you know, said, you know, we're done. We're done unless you sort your life out. So for me, GA was originally for her. I went to GA for her, which I think a lot of people do. I think they go originally for somebody else, or to hide something, or to protect something, or to save something. I soon found out that I needed GA more than, you know, more than just for her. I needed GA for me. You know, I found that out very, very quickly from just a few meetings. I've been going to online Zoom meeting in Bournemouth. I think I've probably missed one in the, you know, nearly 3 years that I've stopped gambling. And that's been when I've been on holidays or anything like that. You know, I try to make it every single week. And up until recently, I was actually hosting. So, you know, I've given a little bit back so far in terms of service. There's still a lot more that I can do, and I want to do. In terms of when we got, when I got found out, I was embarrassed. I answered yes to 20 of 20 questions. Didn't know nothing about that before. You know, never, ne nobody in my family's had an addiction, as far as I'm aware of, you know. So I didn't know nothing about a 12-step recovery program. Didn't know nothing about addiction. I think probably 4 or 5 years before I came to GA, I knew I was addicted. You know, deep down, you sort of know. But prior to that, I thought it was sort of normal, and it was a blokish thing to do, to go to the bookies and to put place bets on football, and you know, do all of these types of things that I was doing. But when I got, as I say, when I got to that age of, you know, between 18 and 25, I was a complete wreck. You know, my social life had disappeared, and when I did go out for friends' birthdays, which was the only time that I would go out and see these people, and would be in the club, for example, I'd be on a fruit machine all night. I wouldn't have a conversation with any of them. You know, it was a sad, lonely life that I had for a long time. Since going to GA, that's changed. My phone doesn't stop ringing. I've got plenty of friends. I've got loads of people that are around around me all the time. I've still got my house. Didn't lose my house. GA saved that. I was in huge amounts of debt prior to GA. That's the financial side that saved me. The mental side of it is really what saved me, because I'd be dead. I would be dead. If I'd continued going the way that I was going, I certainly wouldn't be here on this meeting telling you about what I've done. Yeah, it was a difficult time. It was a difficult time. When my missus took her ring off, that was my rock bottom. You know, knowing that I was going to lose potentially my two kids, my house, my wife, to lose all of that was rock bottom for me. You know, she'd said it several times prior that she would go, and I knew she wouldn't, but that one was the last straw. That was the camel that the straw that broke the camel's back was when she took the ring off and said she was done. And I thanked her every day since for it. You know, going to GA, currently I've got a sponsor. I'm currently on step four. So going through all of the bits that I need to go through. I've been on it for about 3 months, 4 months so far, if not longer. But in terms of the amount of work I've done, I've not done a lot to it. I've procrastinated. My sponsor's going through some stuff at the moment as well, although that's not an excuse at all. And that's sort of where I'm at the moment. Since the first day I came to GA, I haven't actually had a bet, so I've not had a relapse. I've known many people to have relapses that have come in and out, and a lot of it for me has been down to, I think, GA has given me motivation. It's given me motivation of the right things to do. If you turn up to meetings regularly and attend them regularly for the newcomers, if you t turn up to these meetings, it saves you. You know, every single meeting is medicine for me. You know, that's another conversation as well. You know, meetings make it for me, for sure. Yeah, I mean, in terms of where I'm at now, I'm happy. I'm enjoying meetings. I'm enjoying GA. My friends know about my addiction. I think it's really important that we're open with people, you know, open with friends. And yeah, just really happy where I am now. This is actually my first share. I was saying to Dan previously, it's actually my first share in terms of an open meeting and sort of sharing my story. So apologies if it was a bit in and out and a bit skew-iff, but that's sort of where I'm at. And if you've got any questions, I'd love to be able to answer any.
What a great share, Jack. Wow. So glad you were able to volunteer and be of service at our meeting today. Really appreciate it. There's a lot there, you know, and I really appreciate it. It's going to be on our recordings within a few days. It's going to be on the top of the list. And we have some questions. And if you would like to ask a question for Jack or have a comment, please just put up your hand like Mohammed did. And if you don't want to be recorded, because only the audio portion is being recorded right now, then please ask it, send it through a chat to myself or Tony, and we'll be more than happy to ask it for you. But before we do that, we have Mohammed with his hand up first. So I'm going to ask you to unmute Mohammed and come on in.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate what Brother Dan said. That was a great speaker meeting. I don't know my opinion. I use perfect, but I do, perfect is hard to say what perfect is. But for me, that was a perfect speaker meeting on gambling. I felt at times that I was getting back into gambling, and I was saying, Microsoft, antivirus, emergency, leave the meeting, all that was going through my head. I was scared of gambling, but I remembered, it's a comment, I remembered just for today. Just for today, I would be agreeable. I would look as well as I can, just becoming talk low. I courtesy, criticize one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody but myself. So I just regulate myself, and the program teaches such good things. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Mohammed. Appreciate that.
Thank you for that, Mohammed. Appreciate it. Right. So, is there anybody else that has a question or comment for Jack? I've got one, Jack, for you. So, and again, I cast this question to every speaker because I'm really interested in this and getting other people's opinion on this. Hopefully, there wasn't something that you really kind of struggled with in recovery. But if there was something, and something maybe a character defect that was a little bit rough to get through, or some hard personalities, whatever it is, I'm not so much interested in what that was, but what did you do to get past that is more important. What kind of tools did you use at the program to lift yourself over that? Thanks, Chad.
Yeah, no, thanks, Dan. Great question. I mean, for me, I've not placed a bet, but I have thought about placing a bet. And you know, we get taught in GA the tools that we have. And for me, you know, for not doing the steps, you know, I've not done the steps all the way through. Only at step four at the moment, so I can't rely on previous experience or steps or anything like that. What the way that I've done it is stay connected and being completely open with anyone and not giving myself the opportunity, you know. So for a long time, I didn't have access to my money, so that was completely controlled by my other half. I earned the trust back. As I say, I'm quite a proud person, so I didn't want to lose any of that trust. But if I got caught in a situation where I was close to, like I have done before, you know, nearer the early stages where I thought, you know, I'll be all right with one bet. That thought for me and what I've got told from my sponsor was to speak about it, to tell people. It takes the power out of it. It really does. You know, to have that conversation for when that thought comes, or for if I'm feeling slightly exposed in a situation, to have a conversation with another compulsive gambler, you know. And at the early stages, my wife, she was asked, she was saying, "You can speak to me." And I said, "I can't speak to you about that." You know, I did speak to her about it, but it didn't take the power out of it because she didn't understand where I was coming from. She didn't understand my thought process. She didn't understand exactly how it felt to be me. So guys like, or guys and girls and everybody that's here, you know, any one of you people would understand that situation. So for me, it's the main thing is to talk, you know, to talk. I was brought up where men were men and we didn't talk about feelings in our family. You know, we wasn't a huggy family. We wasn't anything like that. So for me, the ability to learn to talk to people was the most important thing. And that's what saved me.
That was perfect. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate that. And we have Dixie up next, followed by Jake and Michael. So, Dixie, you're up first. Welcome.
Hello. Hi there. Thought I didn't know your name. It's Jack, right? Thank you so much for coming in and sharing with us. You know, don't think I have a comment, but just, I mean, a question, but just really, you know, you said, you know, how lonely this is, and it is so lonely, and to the point of self-destruction or self-demise. And just really happy to hear your story today. You know, just really encouraging. You know, as many, you said no relapse, but I imagine how many times, you know, you said you knew you were an addict before you found recovery, how many times you had that struggle with yourself anyway. So I guess that is my question. You think you relapsed before you found DA?
Yeah, 100%. Thanks for your comment, Dixie. Yeah, I mean, like most of us, I would imagine as well. You know, the amount of times I said to myself, you know, I've got this money in my account. I'm not going to bet today. I'm going to go straight to work, you know, and before I knew it, you know, it's like the car was in automatic, you know, auto drive, and it pulled in and it stopped at the bookies. And before I knew it, the money was gone, you know. So, yeah, absolutely relapsed. Hundreds of times before I came to GA, 100%. But yeah, it is so lonely, especially that's what I say, talking takes the power out of it, and it doesn't make you lonely.
Beautiful question and great answer. Thank you both for that. We have Jake from England. So good to see you today. Welcome, Jack. Jake.
It is Jack, yeah, don't worry. My name's just spelled weird. Fellow Jack without a C. It's all good. not really a question per se, more comments. As a fellow Brit, I see a lot of similarities in my story growing up, things like the arcades and stuff, they're so readily available and no one bats an eyelid at, toddlers running around with 2p coins, whacking them in a little pusher to try and get like a packet of sweets to fall out the end, It's when you think about it, you think, well, hang on a minute, it's a little bit, not so good. But a couple of some key things that I sort of took from your share as well. The stopping gambling bit for me was probably the easier part in a way. The harder part for me, and you touched on it, is the character changes that come from being a compulsive gambler, the lying, the conjuring up stories to try and cover your back, and it's the mental exhaustion that comes from that and the toll it takes on you trying to think of, well, what have I told this person? What have I told that person? How am I gonna, cover my tracks with this person? And eventually you'll trip up. And when that happens, it's like your world's just ended because you think, oh, I'm doing so well, and all of a sudden everything's out in the open. And for me, GA, again, similar to you, was it was a you got to go here, or that's it. And I'm in a position now, where I've got a wife, or I've got a house with a mortgage somehow, and all these things and things like that just wouldn't have happened, when I was gambling. And it's a testament to the room. And the key thing as well is, you hear a lot of people come in and go, I thought I was the only one. I thought no one would understand. And I'm sure most people in this room, will have had people in their life, family, friends, who would have just gone, well, just stop doing it. And you look at them and you say, if it was that simple, I'd have done it a long time ago. Then the beauty of these rooms are there are people like us who understand it. And when you go, well, I can't, people get it, and you go, yeah, we feel it, We know that you don't want to, but for whatever reason, there's just something in your brain, whether it's different neurons flying around or, all of these chemicals being released, I've always said, if you were to go to a hospital or get a doctor to do two separate brain scans, do one of a neurotypical person, so to speak, and do one of, a compulsive gambler, and put that stimulus in front of them, the shining lights, the noises, and see the difference in the scans. And I imagine it would be quite eye-opening, to be honest. For whatever reason, there's just something in our brains that responds to that stimulus, and it's just something that you just can't explain. And yeah, I'll just finish by saying, GA is just it's just the best. We say in our room well, I go to Wolverhampton, GA, so in the Midlands, but I am from down south originally, from Wiltshire Way. Don't know if you're familiar with that area, but yeah, that's where I'm from originally. But we learn a lot in GA, and the main thing, is just, as you said, be open and honest. It's so freeing, not having the weight of the world on your shoulders, and knowing that it's okay to say you're not okay. Kind of like yourself growing up, it was a, I'm an only child, and it was very much a, you're a man, you have problems, whatever, deal with it, stiff upper lip and all of that sort of stuff, deal with it. Took me a long time to realize that I don't need to be like that. And years and years and years of suppressing emotions, only ends one way, and it's not a good way. And I'll just finish by saying, thank you for your share. I took a lot from it. And I know a lot of people who may have, coming here for the first time or maybe new to GA entirely, will take a lot from that, because I know when I first went to GA, I thought there was no hope. I thought, well, what am I doing here? I'm a loser or whatever. But actually, it's the opposite. By going to one of these meetings or walking through that door, if you go in person for the first time, that's the biggest sign of strength that you could ever display. Taking that first step. And once you've taken that first step, things can only get better. And with that, I'll say thank you very much.
Yeah,
Thank
brilliant,
you.
Jake. Thank you. I mean, you hit the nail on the head several times there. I mean, I don't know how you come from down south and you're a Wolves fan now, but in terms of, the loneliness that you spoke about, the stiff upper lip, all of that sort of stuff, as I say, that was in my share. And any newcomer, yeah, you're absolutely right as well. Any newcomer that comes and they will experience a share similar to their story. It got me in my first ever meeting. My first three meetings, I couldn't even speak a word. I was so embarrassed. I was so shy. And then after probably 8 or 10 weeks of going to meetings, I realized that actually I'm the lucky one. I'm the lucky one for being in the rooms. So thanks very much for your comment, Jake. Appreciate it.
Yeah, beautiful. Even without the C in your name, great comments. Thank you, Jack. We have Michael K, followed by Shai. So, Michael, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Jack, for your share and your service. It was great listening. Yeah, I suppose the one thing that kind of touched me, well, I kind of raised my hand and unraised it and raised it again. You mentioned the mental health aspect. Thankfully, I have a good few number of years under my belt in recovery. But when I probably came into GA and 2010 or so, and I was, a compulsive relapser, if you like. I was in and out for 5 or 6 years, and then I came in 2016 on my knees and, at my rock bottom. But it was my mental health that was starting to deteriorate because of gambling, and I just couldn't take it anymore. And thankfully, I as they say in the meeting rooms here in Ireland, I opened my ears and took the cotton wool out and listened and done the thing, and I got a lot of recovery. And I had a relapse on the way during COVID, not anything serious with the gambling, but it took away a lot of peace of mind and brought back the kind of mental aspect of where it affected my mental health. And I've trod along for that. I now have 6 years, over 6 years, free. But I started taking a working on myself individually, again, one-on-one counseling and stuff like that, because like what I find with the recovery program GA, it's without it 100% I wouldn't be here, like what you said. But it's for me, it's not just the meetings. It's you kind of have to continuously be working on yourself and improving yourself and stuff. And I probably took the accelerator off a bit that way. And I in some way I would have been a bit of a dry drunk. I wasn't gambling, but I'd have been a bit cranky. I'd have been, have the traits of a compulsive gambler. And as the last speaker said, suppressing emotions. I was dealing with stuff the way I thought was right, and I was only going to one-on-one counseling and life problems coming up that I realized I wasn't dealing with stuff right. And I suppose the crutch wasn't there where I'd run back to gambling and hide in a bookies or hide in a casino, because I don't want to go back there. And I had to face stuff head on and let my emotions out, get my one-on-one counseling. And thankfully today I'm in a positive place from it all, and a lot stronger and a lot better. And but like listen to someone the way you spoke, and I know, I think you've said you've 3 years under your belt without a relapse and stuff. Like, do you like for I suppose myself and for speak for people that aren't that long in recovery, what's your tips for kind of keeping the mental side out and not suppressing the emotions and dealing with stuff? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Appreciate that. Great, great, good, really good question as well. For me, my advice would be to as I, suggested and alluded to earlier, instead of suppressing them, any problems I have now, not just gambling problems, I think talk to people, talk to those close around you, have a friendship circle. If you haven't got a friendship circle, get a friendship circle. And the way to do that is to go, you know, you can join clubs locally potentially for walks, any sports, anything like that. For me, my football team, you know, or soccer team, has been really, really great with that. So, you know, for me, they all know that I'm a compulsive gambler. So, you know, when we go back to the clubhouse or anything like that, you know, and they're doing any sort of bets or anything, they keep it away from me, you know. So I think it's important to surround yourself by the right people, you know, people that don't add anything to your life or don't understand your situation, or that don't care enough about your situation that would do something like that, aren't the right people to be with. You know, you might as well go and hang around with the people that are in the bookies. So for me, you've got to surround yourself by the right people. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a lot easier said than done, for sure. But you've got to wheel them out. You know, there was a friendship group I was with at 19 years old, that started doing drugs. You know, slightly off topic, but they started doing drugs, and I didn't want a part of drugs. Didn't want a part of drugs. So I stopped seeing all of them. That was my core friendship group, you know, five or six people. So very quickly, those people weren't part of my life anymore. I joined a new football team. I started meeting new people, you know, friends of friends, different people, until I found my crowd. And I had to do the same again when I stopped gambling. You know, I had a friendship group that were gambling, had a friendship group that were doing the wrong things, you know, that I didn't want to be a part of anymore. And I had to choose, you know, the life not of my wildest dreams yet. Hopefully it will be. But, you know, I've had to choose that life, you know, with maybe slightly less people in it, but people that I can trust and people that respect me and respect my boundaries now. But yeah, in terms of the mental side, I'll just, you know, speak to people openly about anything, you know, anything that's on your mind, especially at the, you know, like you say, the early stages. I feel incredibly lucky that I've not relapsed, because I've had a really strong group that I've gone to as well. So I'm at the Bournemouth Zoom meeting every Sunday, and there's many, many years of experience there. Some of you all know Matt Smith, Paul Martin, Tony Pearce, those people that have got huge amounts of wisdom and experience that really have pulled me through this. So that's the important thing for me.
That was perfect. Thank you both for the question and the answer. And we're going to move right on to Shai and followed by Dom. Shai, welcome. Please come on in.
Thank you so much. My name is Shai, compulsive gambler. I have 11 days of consecutive abstinence from gambling today, and I'm so happy to be part of this room and hear you speak, Jack.
Well,
I entered the GA rooms back in 2011 in the streets of North Hollywood and Burbank and Glendale. And when I came in, what really stood out to me, Jack, is when I came in, I just felt like my world was so small. It was inside my head. And even coming into the rooms, it took a while to really mesh and blend and see that now that I've left gambling behind, that I have a chance to connect with people. And so the big contrast of this very solitary life, even though I was married at the time and had friends and all kinds of stuff, I felt very lonely. But entering GA, we now are connected globally to brothers and sisters. So just really pulling back from your share and just hearing you speak about your specific story. But that's like the beauty of it. We have a chance to connect to others around the world. So if loneliness is ever an issue, these Zoom meetings can connect us. Like for me, I'm working a lot to repair my life and do the fixes. So to have access to meetings around the clock, wow, what a blessing, what a miracle. I mean, this is new to me because I've been out for a decade and this is my second bout with GA. And so to see that we can connect globally to folks like you and hear your stories and how, you know, things might be different, but so much is the same about what we share in our histories and our lives. So thank you for sharing what it used to be like, what happened and how you got here. That was very powerful. And I look to, you know, hopefully get to see you some other day. But really, the contrast of being so alone and then now being so together is profound. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Shay. I appreciate your comments and congratulations on 11 days, mate. Take it one day at a time. Take it one day at a time. Break it down to smaller amounts if you need to. That's what I got told when I first, came to GA. Because I don't know if you've had them, but I had, gambling dreams. I've had, urges to gamble throughout the early stages as well. Break it down. I'm not going to gamble for the next hour. Find something to do in that hour. Fill your time. For me, that was another key part, which I probably should have put into my share. But filling my time has been so important. So important. So yeah, fill as much time as you can. Get involved with the right people. And yeah, connect to anybody in anybody at GA you can connect to them.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. And now we can, we have Don and Taylor. We have a question or a comment for Jack. Don, and welcome to the meeting. Nice to see you here.
Hey Dan and everybody. Dom, also gambler. Last bet was August 27th. Man, I wanted to just come on and just be honest. Man, yesterday was hell, and including the day. You know, I'm so behind due to dealing with this gambling crap, man. That is having me almost in desperation. I'm working just to pay back pay, and it's all because of gambling. So yesterday, I don't know, I felt sick. So I did something just to, I don't know. I really don't know. More to the story, I didn't gamble, but I actually did. My mind was just gone. I actually did go into the place, you know, and something that we can maybe relate to, gamblers usually help other gamblers. So I haven't talked to people, but I actually went up in there because at the moment, I don't have any finance to make it through, you know, until I get paid. So the people that I used to loan money, you know, I'm looking for that shit back. I'm not going to even lie to you. So I actually went up there to just see if anybody that I knew was gambling that owed me money just from the past. Like, man, I need that. I'm already going through my recovery, but man, I'm down on my ass. That's just how I felt. And I seen one girl. You know, she was doing a thing. I didn't bother. I stepped back. I was just on my phone to keep myself preoccupied. And it's just maybe like 20, 30 minutes. I actually went in the bathroom and I was like, what the hell is I'm doing here? You know, I go to meetings, I go everything, but it's like, man, I'm on my ass and I have no help. So what do I do? You know, that's just the back and forth that I was telling myself yesterday. So just going through that and just today watching the fact that I'm just allowing myself just can't make my bills and I'm behind. Like I'm behind. So that's just been pondering on my head and pondering on my mind and beating me up. I couldn't shake it. I could have relapsed yesterday. I could have went back, but it's like, Dom, when is this gonna stop? You know, you created all this self-sabotage, all these bills, and you not being able to, you know, fend for yourself came about due to this. And it's like, do you want to keep going through this? And deeply, I don't. You know, I don't. I have a sponsor. We talk, but I didn't mention this, what I'm telling you guys, to him, man. But it was just almost desperation. So what I'm saying is gambling can get you desperation and doing some stuff like that. I don't want to be in that position, but it brought me there because I didn't have any answers or solutions. So just praying my way through it. I didn't gamble. I finally got up out of there. I went home and said a prayer, and here I am now. I wasn't going to even get on a meeting because I'm really just frustrated and uptight. You know, usually when I get on, I just try to positive spirits, but fuck that today. Excuse my language. I'm just going through it. So that's it, y'all. Thank you, Dan, and everybody, just for letting me share.
Yeah, so I'm very sorry to hear you're going through a tough time, Don, but I do understand. I do get it. I was there myself. So I completely understand you. I'm so grateful that you didn't make that bet, that you stayed away from it, because that wouldn't have helped any. Just keep coming back. Take it easy. Don't be so tough on yourself, you know. And we'll get through this. We're all here for each other. So grateful to have you here today. Thank you for being here and sharing with us. And we have Taylor next. Taylor, I'm going to ask you to unmute and welcome.
Hi. Hoping every guys is doing okay. This is my, I think my third meeting. And I guess my last bet was today. I guess I'm just still in like shock, but I'm not in shock. Basically, I have like $2 to my name. I spent like all my little severance pay. It wasn't a lot, but it was enough. And I have a car to fix. That's due on the 23rd, and it's just like I could pay tomorrow, but it won't be enough to cover. And then my family doesn't know about the issue except for my sister. She doesn't know that I spent that much money in 4 days. In just 4 days. I don't know. Like, I really don't want to have to explain what's been going on this whole time. There's a part of me that wants to reveal everything and just be like, look, I have a gambling addiction. Like, I hate admitting that I even have an addiction in general. I do struggle with addiction with other things too. But it's just like, I don't know, this has just been a thing for me since last April. But my whole family gambles. So that's the thing, is like it's a family fun thing, but I guess I'm the only one that has issues with it. And spending my whole check on it, knowing I'm gonna get paid in the next day, and it's just like that's how I never save any money. So it's hard to, because I know in these groups, you know, I've been to AA, I've been to NA before, and it's just like I know in these groups it's like you're supposed to say, you know, just not today, just not today. And I know the end goal in order to, I guess, I don't know, get a sponsor or something is to at least agree that you're trying not to ever do it again. But it's just hard to say that, especially because in my back of my mind is like I have no money, but I'm still thinking like I can still get something back, and that's the crazy part. And it's just like I can observe that, I understand that, but it's like there's still an issue, and I don't think my therapist can really help me for real. I've talked to her about this before. It just feels like I need something more than meetings at this point. So I don't know, but I do feel like I need a sponsor. So if anybody can help me find one or something like that, that would be great. But yeah, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Taylor, for sharing with us. And just keep coming back. We're here every single day. And tomorrow will be what they call a topic meeting. So we'll have a chance to get a little more and talk a bit more about this. So thank you for being here, though, and sharing with us. And we have, looks like our last question or comment is from Tony P. Tony, welcome to our meeting.
Good afternoon, everybody. Tony P, compulsive recovering gambler. Basically, wanted to jump on a chat because I'm in the United States over here. I'm on day number 63, I believe. Just did that 61. Don't know how much information we could detail in this room. So, if it's a regular GA that I attend on the 7 and 9 o'clock, I'll be as gentle as possible. Host, thank you for your service, co-host, timer, everything. Appreciate all that you do and your service. I'm gonna take it off a picture so you know I'm really real. There I am. I'm driving. All right. So I gotta put it back on because I don't have my holder for the cell phone. So I gotta put it back off of it. But I'll be it. But anyway, just want to tell everybody out there, and especially Jake, great, Great shit. I caught the last several minutes of it, but my God, my man, congratulations. And you're right. And the ones that followed you on the chat, they take it bit, minute by minute. When I first came on, basically, I said, this is a crap of crap, a load of crap. This ain't going to work for me. I'm too thick-headed, whatever. I'm in the United States. Basically, blah, 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 stupid Italian attitude that I got. And ain't going to work. But here I am, 63 days later. So my advice to everybody is, especially I don't know if you say names or co-chat to people, certain things in GA rooms, you're not allowed to tell people, you know. But anyway, here's a little advice. Well, it did. What is it there? I found out that you could actually, if it's, say, credit card debt, stuff like that, loan debt, you go to these people, it's just like a mental illness, which we have, and I have, I'm sick. And this is my medicine. You can actually go to your credit card companies, loan companies. They will lower you to practically zero to help you recover paying your debt back. That's number one. Number two, GA Anonymous has what they call pressure relief groups, where GA Council will meet with you, financial experts that are also gamblers, or I'm sorry, previous gamblers, who are lawyers and et cetera, that will guide you in the direction you need to go and review your finances and kind of be a consolidation company, I call it. And it works. You could also go and take your time and take your minutes to do everything to occupy your mind. I got on this chat. I'm driving. I'm going through from the, I live in Louisiana. I don't care. Who knows? I'm heading to Alabama for work. And I'm passing Mississippi, which has every casino at every damn exit. And I've grabbed me a chat. That's it. Period. But you got to put in to get out. So remember that. I don't know if you're allowed to say names, but I know the one individual, a couple of speakers, a couple of chats ago. I don't know if you're allowed to private chat. But, buddy, you private chat me. I'll give you my number. We'll work through this shit. All right? I feel for you tearing up already. Basically, we're there for you. You got to understand, this is a unity. This is a family. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it the first week. I didn't believe it the second week. It's crap. They ain't even going to help me. Dude, they help. Everybody, they help you. We are a family. We are a family. And now I attend sometimes 3-4 chats a day just to help people, to be of service. I became a timer on one of my chats. Starting to almost training, I think it's a week or two for co-hosting. So it works. I never got rock bottom, and I don't want to get to rock bottom. That's why I took this step on behalf of promising my wife, my family. I was truthful. You know, I'm kind of the boss. I hate to say it that way. I'm the boss. I run my life. I run my family. I don't abuse. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. But I'm the dying man who runs his family. So my wife would plead, beg, and ask me, hey, Tony, you're going spiraling down, baby. I said, we'll stop it. You're not spending all our money. We got plenty of money, but you're going to get worse. Get the hell out of here. I'll do what I want. I used to start arguments, just go to the casino. And I come back till Sunday night. So just start arguments. It's stupid. The house always wins. You got to give in to yourself. You got to give in to whatever you believe in. The higher power, Christian, Catholic, Buddha, I don't care. I don't care if it's a goddamn gnome in your yard. You give it up. You rely on it. You give yourself to it. You believe in it. You get on them darn chats. And like I said, there's help out there. Trust me, I don't know what states or countries you're in, but there are out there. I've done a lot of research in 60 days, but I plan eventually becoming a host and help. And I like the service. That's what actually one of my job is doing right now. But just word of advice, like I said, if we are allowed to please host, if we're allowed to private chat me, I think the individuals know who I'm talking about. And you could call me. I can give you some more information if we're allowed. If you can't private chat, I'll be back. All right.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
I
thank you, Jack. Thank you. Jack.
I open up the private chat right now so everybody can chat between themselves if they like to. And I spoke too soon, Jack. We have a couple more questions or comments. So we have Benjamin and Miss Moya, but Benjamin, you're first. Comment or question for Jack. Robert, Benjamin. You should be able to unmute Benjamin. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Jack, great share. My name's Benjamin, recovering compulsive gambler, and I do have a question. In March, I've been in the program since March, and maybe 2 months ago, I exposed myself to my wife and told her everything. For months, I didn't tell her, even though I was in the program. And I guess my question would be the initial stages of rebuilding that trust in your relationship. Things are kind of rocky right now, understandably. You know, it was a lot to drop on her. She's on my side, though. She's making sure I'm going to meetings and whatnot. But I don't know if you have any tangible advice about the initial stages of repairing that trust with your partner. So, by the way, thanks for the share.
Yeah, thanks, Benjamin. Great question. I mean, I think you're probably a step ahead of me already because, you know, my missus found out I lied. You've come clean. You know, you've come clean, told the truth. You're doing the right steps. You said she's making sure that you go to meetings. Maybe make sure that she knows when your meetings are. You know, you're telling her as opposed to she's telling you. You know, be proactive in recovery. I mean, ultimately, what we learn in GA is we're only in control of our own actions and you can only do the next right thing. So whether that be, you know, helping out with a daily routine, because as a compulsive gambler, many, many times, you know, I wasn't there in the moment. You know, I was there physically, but mentally I was never there with my missus. I was never there with the kids. You know, I was always late. You know, show up, be there, be on time, you know, do what you can, go above and beyond. And, you know, talk regular about it. Don't be scared to talk regular about it. It's awkward at first, but it gets easier. You know, much like opening up to friends and family, you know, for the first 6 or 9 months, maybe even a year, didn't really tell many people. You know, a few of my family members knew. But even at that point, I told them to keep it on the down low. You know, I didn't want many people knowing because I was embarrassed about what I'd done. But trust comes with time. You know, you can't rush it. It comes with time. I probably didn't get full trust for 9 months to a year from my other half. Now we've got, you know, the best relationship we've ever had, to be honest. You know, we talk openly about money. I never used to do that. We talk openly about work. I never used to do that. We talk openly about, you know, the kids, everything. You know, everything's out in the open. You know, we're as one now, whereas before I felt like we were probably two individuals. And that comes from conversations. You know, it's been mentioned a lot here. There was a couple of people that have spoken about sort of finances and finding it tough. You know, really sorry you're in that situation. But the financial benefit from coming to GA, to be honest, is greater than you expect. You know, you don't need as much as you earn half the time. You really don't. You know, I got myself out of debt. I was in a lot of debt. You don't need all of that money. The great thing about being a compulsive gambler is actually, by the end of it, you actually don't spend a lot of money on yourself. You don't look after yourself. You know, I wasn't, you know, going to the dentist. I wasn't buying myself new clothes. That wasn't important for me then, you know. So once I stopped gambling, actually what I was earning to what I was spending, you know, it's a chunk of money, you know. And it's not going to be the same for everybody. And you've got to put extra work in and you've got to work hard to do it. So the financial problem wasn't the worst problem. I came here thinking I've got a financial problem. That's not the problem. The problem was me, you know. And Benjamin, as going back to your point, you know, just be open, honest. and understand her situation. You know, being an understand, you have to learn to be understanding, because when you're a compulsive gambler, you don't actually grow up. You know, your mental age stays the same as what it's ever been. You know, from when you was a compulsive gambler, you don't actually grow up. So when I stopped gambling almost 3 years ago, I probably had the mental age of a 17, 18-year-old, where actually when I did have a little bit of money, I wanted to go out and party because I deserved it. Or if I did have a little bit of money, oh, we can book a holiday now. But I'm 31 years old and I should have savings and I should be having money put aside for my children for when they get older. I should be doing improvements to my home. You know, there's so many other things that I should be spending my money on. And, you know, I never thought about other people. You know, the amount of years I miss Christmases, birthdays, presents for people and all of that sort of stuff. Yeah, I think mentally you start growing up again when you stop gambling. But certainly, you know, with regards to my missus, my only tip, and you know, the way that you've got to earn the trust back, you know, and it only comes with time. It only comes with time. But yeah, thanks, Ben. Appreciate your comment and your question.
Actually beautiful, and I really appreciate your answer back, Jack, talking about, you know, maturity and how we stop growing when we get to addiction. Thanks for that. Miss Moya, come on in. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry for being so last, but I was trying to let everybody else speak. But thank you, Jack, for your share. It was wonderful. Thank you to all the hosts and the co-hosts and everyone that helps in the background. But I was really moved. Okay, Moya C, I'm a grateful recovering compulsive gambler. My clean date is 6/23/25. And I just really wanted to share my strength and experience and hope with the two people that I heard back to back. One was a guy who was frustrated and went into the casino place yesterday, and the other was a young lady, I think right after him, who I think her day was today. I just wanted to encourage them with what I did and what has helped me. What has been helping me and continues to help me is being honest. And I've heard it said a lot tonight in this share. I've heard it said a lot. You gotta be honest. And then secondly, be patient. And it's all on the back of page 17. What somebody gave me June 16th, and I still didn't get it. I still didn't come clean. I kept trying to gamble. I kept trying to gamble because I thought I was gonna win the money back that I lost. It's over. It's done. It's not coming back. And that's what I had to tell myself. It's not coming back. As hard as it is, and trust me, it is hard. It is not easy. Gambling was the easy part. Going to gamble, going to waste our money, wasting time. And yes, we would get these big wins real quick and everything. And then we had a bunch of money, and I want to mention amounts. We'd have a bunch of money, and then we didn't, right? This is what we did. But now that we're here in recovery, it's going to take time. When a person has surgery on their body, they don't come right out of the hospital from the operating room and they're back to work jumping up and down. No, they have to recover. They come from the operating room to a recovery room to a regular room sometimes, and then even home and still off from work some more days sometimes because they have to recover. And I said all that to say, and I'm not singling them out. I'm saying this is for me as well as for anyone else that wants to take it. Recovery takes time. And my gratitude list from today, the statement said, patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. And I say to the young man, to the young lady, and to anyone else that wants to hear it, if you're having a rough day, that's what the phone list is for. Use the phone list. If you call someone, if you text someone, and no, nobody's gonna just say, here's a large sum of money to get you out. Nobody's gonna say, here's a bunch of money, because that's not helping us. That's hurting us. That's enabling us to think, okay, I'm going to get a bailout and now I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Maybe I'll still stay in the recovery program. Maybe I won't. Because I'm speaking about me. I'm speaking about me. When I was clean from September 4th, 2021 through September 30th, 2024, I was abstinent. I was serving. I was attending meetings. I was hosting meetings. I was doing all the things, but I wasn't really seeking recovery. I thought I was, but I was not. I see that now. And I got a couple loans. So a lot of these bills I got to pay is what I did to myself. I did it. So now I've got to figure out a way to come out of it. That means working overtime for me. That means I don't get to enjoy some of the things I want to enjoy. I'm 57 years old. I should be retired by now or about to. A lot of my friends are. But guess what? Guess who probably got to work till they're 80 or 90 years old? Me. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Why? Because I'm living a better life now. I don't want a quick fix. And the book even tells you shortcuts, quick fixes, and I don't even know if I'm misreading it, it's not helpful. It's detrimental to our recovery. So slow and steady GA drip wins the prize every time. Because even if we try to go back out and gamble, we're still not winning. I think Saki said that. Even when we win, we're not winning. And as Bracelet Bob reminded me, as my bracelet that I wear every day, day one, or one day at a time, but I prefer one day at a time, anytime. Thank you so much for letting me share, guys.